Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this fellowship hour, for all my brothers and sisters, all your children that gathered together here today to fellowship together. We give you all the glory and all the praise. And today, Lord, we declare, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. And we ask that that light will shine into our hearts this morning. In the name of Jesus, we give you, Lord, the praise, and we give you, Lord, the glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, let's talk about this morning, that thy name, O Lord, might be glorified. I want us to focus on that saying, and that saying ought to be uppermost in our hearts, in our mouths, in our prayers, in everything that we do. Because, well, you know, all things really should be for and to the glory of God. And when we are praying for something, even when we are going through, can we make it about God getting the glory? And that's the exhortation I want to share with us today. Well, I want to read a short story in the life of Jesus himself, you know, and let's read from John chapter 12, and we're going to read just a few verses from verse 23. John 12 and 23. And Jesus answered and said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. What was it that led to that statement? Well, there were certain Greeks, we're told, that came up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, Galilee, and desired of him, saying, sir, we want to see Jesus. So Philip comes and tells Andrew, and Andrew comes and, you know, together, and Philip, they tell Jesus. So there are some people here that want to see you. And here's what Jesus answered. The hour is come. The Son of Man should be glorified. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You heard me quote this verse multiple times. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. But he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. That's right. Now, is my soul troubled, he said. And what shall I say? Well, let me stop here and ask, is your soul troubled this morning? Well, what shall you say then? There was a point in time that the soul of Jesus was troubled for what was ahead of him. He knew what he had to go through. He knew he had to be separated from the Father. He knew he had to become sin. He knew that all the darkness and the sin and everything was going to be laid upon him. And he would, in fact, for a moment, become darkness. And that was a thing that... That was an absolute no-no, but he knew he had to go through it for you and for me. And his soul was heavy. The hour of separation from the Father was coming. But look at the way that Jesus approached it. He said, well, the hour that he should be glorified was coming, but that was actually the hour, I mean, his worst hour, his darkest hour, if you want to put it that way. Because in that moment, the Father was going to turn his back on Christ. He knew it. And he prayed, Bible says, prayed, being in agony. He prayed and prayed and prayed until he was sweating blood. Because he even said, Lord, Father, if it be possible, is there any other way around this? You know, that I don't have to become darkness and be separated from the Father. And he prayed about it, you know. He even asked his disciples, pray with me, you know, but they couldn't do it. Their eyes were heavy, the Bible says, some of them for sorrow or whatever, but they were heavy. And in Luke 22 and 44, he was in agony, we're told. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was at great drops of blood falling to the ground. That is some prayer, folks. You know, to pray until you were sweating blood. And that's how he prayed, because of his darkest hour that was coming. Yet, he called it the hour of glorification. And Jesus was saying here, back to John chapter 12, he was saying here that, look, in order for something great to happen, something has to die first. He knew what he was all about. Most people didn't know it, but just about everybody. Nobody knew it, but he knew it. He knew his mission. And he was saying it here. He said, well, you know, the seed, corn of wheat, must fall into the ground and die in order for it to produce. Well, he that loves his life should lose it, but he that hates it, you know, will gain it back. And then at the end of all of that, when he said, my soul was troubled, he said, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Well, but that's the reason why I came. He knew it, and he knew he had to go through it. So instead of saying, save me from this hour, he turns to the Lord, and he turns to the Father and says, Father, glorify thy name. You know, that was his answer to, you know, this turmoil that was going on in his mind. You know, the struggle and everything that was going on. Say, my soul is troubled. He said it with his own mouth. If you ever thought his soul was never troubled, well, here you have it. His soul was troubled. He was torn between himself. You know, what to do? What shall I say? You know, he was conflicted. You know, one time he said, well, you know, let this cup be removed from me. But he said, well, nevertheless, let thy will be done. I mean, he was conflicted within himself, facing this tremendous challenge that was coming, that he had to bear all the sins of the world. He who knew no sin, the sinless Son of God, the perfect one, the complete light, was a light of the world, he said. And he had to, that light had to be taken from him for a moment. And it would become darkness, and Father would turn his back. I mean, all these things were going through his mind. But what was his prayer? Father, glorify thy name. That was his prayer. And well, there was a voice that came, we're told, from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Isn't that wonderful? Well, Jesus sought the glory of the Father only. And the people who stood by, they heard it. Or some people said it thundered. Other people said, well, that was an angel that spoke with him. But Jesus said, look, this voice came not because of me. You know, I already know his voice. I already know his will. I already know what's going on. But for your sakes. Hallelujah. So, but the essence of this story is in the moment of Jesus's greatest conflict. What did he seek? And what was his prayer? His prayer was that the Father's name would be glorified. Whatever I took, I let the Father's name be glorified. If I have to give my life for it, he said, the corn of wheat had to die, well, so be it. But ultimately, let the Father's name be glorified. Now that's a tremendous statement of absolute trust, and we might even call it surrender to the will of God, because all he wanted was for the Father's name to be glorified. Now, there is a prophecy in the book of Isaiah, which Jesus himself quoted when he came out of the wilderness and went to the temple. You can read it in Luke chapter 4. And he quoted this prophecy. But let's read it again and see the intent of the reason, or the reason why the Lord would do all these things. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Isaiah 61 verse 1. Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to comfort all them that mourn in Zion, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why? Why does he want to do all those things? Well, in order that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. But ultimately, it is so that his name might be glorified. All of that, all of these great things that he's going to do, you know, binding up the brokenhearted, giving liberty to the captives, setting captives free, opening, I mean, you know, releasing people that are bound, you know, chains of darkness, proclaiming the year of the Lord, all these things that he's doing, giving them beauty for ashes to those that mourn, giving them oil of joy, giving them the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. You know, and we quote these scriptures all the time as the antidotes and what God will give us when we're going through heaviness, spirit of heaviness. We say, well, praise the Lord, because here he says it, you know, that will blow things back, you know, and God will give you, you know, joy and victory and clothe all these things. But the ultimate underlying reason for all these things is that he, the Lord, might be glorified. And once we recognize that, then that's a powerful thing, that he might be glorified. Now, there are a lot of things in the scriptures, you know, that deal with the Lord being glorified and it being all about the glory of the Lord. And God wants to get the glory in every situation, even in our darkest hour, like Jesus. You know, let's read Isaiah 63 and verse 7. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has showed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. And that word can only be used for the Lord. Verse 11, he said he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put the Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name? See, all those things that God did, even hardening Pharaoh's heart and all of that, was to make his name, make an everlasting name for himself. get renown, get glory, that led them through the deep and all these things, you know. And he wore them off. He said that they should not stumble. As a beast go into the valley, the Spirit of God caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. You know, even way back then, we're being told that all these things was for the glory of God. And we fast forward to 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. And we are commanded to make everything be about God getting the glory. That's what he said. Whatsoever, therefore, you know, you do. I mean, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything that we do, even in our prayers, you know, everything be to the glory of God. We need to seek the glory of God, that he will get it. And the question is this, well, is it for my glory, saith the Lord? Well, it could be. Well, we could make it so. And if we choose to make it so, that's a state of deep understanding. There's tremendous reward. You know, let's look at John chapter 11. There's a story here of Lazarus about to die. You know, so many of us are familiar with the Lazarus story, but let's see what led to that. You know, when his sisters sent unto him in John 11 and verse 3, saying, Lord, behold, thou whom thou lovest is sick. I mean, Lazarus was very sick. This wasn't just a small sickness that would make them calling unto Jesus. You know, people get sick and get well all the time from weariness, from headache, from this and that. But this was really some sickness that, you know, was tremendously grievous. And the man was dying. But when Jesus heard it, listen to the statement that he made. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Are you kidding me? I mean, you're telling me that this thing that Martha and Mary were going through with their brother about to die would be for the glory of God? Well, that's what Jesus said. I mean, the focus about Jesus was for the glory of God. Now, we're told that he, you know, he had a soft spot for this family, for Lazarus, for Martha, for sister. Mary used to go and visit them and so. You know, when he had therefore heard that Lazarus was sick, whom he loved, and his sister and, you know, they're close to his heart, Mary and Martha both. Well, instead of jumping up and rushing there, he waited two more days in the same place where he was now. This place was a long ways off. It would have taken him a couple of days to get there. And instead of getting started, he waited even some more after he heard that Lazarus was sick. What in the world is he doing? You know, then afterwards, after 2 days, he says, well, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples reminded him that they were trying to kill you there. You know, you want to go there again? Say, yeah. You know, there's only 12 hours in the day, isn't there? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Now, this in itself is a powerful revelation. And why would Jesus say a thing like this at this time? You know, and he's saying that it is light inside of you, not light around you, that makes you not to stumble. Everybody has light around them. I mean, everybody. But not everybody has light inside of them. Now, when it is daytime, everybody can enjoy the light because it's all around. It's not inside. It's around. The sunlight, the daylight, it's around everybody. Everybody can see clearly. But when the night time comes, only those that have light inside of them, not light outside, because in the darkest moments, it's going to take the light that is in you to be able to overcome that darkness that is around you. That's right. Did not the Bible say that he that is in us is greater than he that is without? Well, the light that is inside of you is what is going to give you victory over the darkness that is outside around you. There should be no darkness around us, inside of us, but the devil will bring darkness around us, but you overcome it by the light that is inside of you. Now, he said all these things and said, Lazarus sleepeth, but I'm going to wake him up out of his sleep. Now, you know the rest of the story, but what I wanted to bring out here is what he said about God being glorified through the situation, by the time he met up with Martha, he said, well, in verse 40, did I not say unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? The whole time Jesus is still focusing on showing the glory of God. Hallelujah. And so situations that we go through, can we think and focus about God getting the glory? If we can do that, that can be so powerful. Listen to this also about God getting the glory. In John chapter 15, this was where Jesus was talking about the vine and the fruitful branches. Here's what he said. Herein is my Father glorified. John 15:8. That ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So even in the doing, even in the branches that are bearing fruit, the goal and the ultimate purpose is that the Father may be glorified. Whatever we do, it's got to be about God getting the glory. That thy name, O Lord, might be glorified in my life today. That's got to be our prayer. Everything. In every situation we're facing, even what we're doing, whether we're doing things for the Lord, sometimes we forget that it's got to be all about the glory of God. That's what it's got to be all about. It's got to be all about the glory of God in every situation. Praise God. Now, let's read. There's a story here in Isaiah chapter 37. And again, this is a familiar story. And let's bring out this viewpoint again. We brought it out before. But I want to do some praying over the room today. So I'm laying this background that even in our prayers, even in what we are going through sometimes, even though it may be like the darkest hour that we are facing, well, if we can make it so that we turn our attention to God getting the glory, well, there just might be something out of it. Now, in Isaiah chapter 37, starting from verse 36, the Assyrians came to intimidate Hezekiah and his people. Rabshakeh and Sennacherib and all these things. And they said, well, don't let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered to the king of Assyria. They mocked them. He said, look, don't hack into Hezekiah, make a league with us, and so on and so forth. And they challenged them. They said, look, all these people, all the nations around that trusted in their gods, who among them of all those gods of all those lands were able to deliver their land out of my hand? Why then do you think, or how do you think the Lord is going to deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? And they just mocked them, you know. They even sent a letter and so on. Now, that was in chapter 36. Then we go to chapter 37. And it came to pass, when this was brought to Ezekiah's attention, that he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went to the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim over, it was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered all of them, unto Isaiah the prophet, and said unto him, this is a day of trouble, and a day of rebuke, and a day of blasphemy. But the children are come to the birth, but there's no strength to bring them forth. You know, I mean, this is a dark moment for them. This man has said, look, I'm come here to make you drink your own piss. You know, I'm not going to, you know, they said, speak to us in your tongue. Don't speak in the Hebrew language. We don't want people to hear the disgrace. He said, no, I must speak in your own language. Let everybody hear it. Did you even think I came here without the Lord? He's even going to blaspheme the name of the Lord, that the Lord sent him here to destroy them. I mean, he just ridiculed them, said all kinds of things. You know, so, well, Ezekiah eventually would pray. And when he would pray, he prayed. Because he, after reading the letter that he read, he said, well, you better surrender and so forth. And I will, you know, even give you chariots and different things. But if you don't, I'm going to utterly destroy you like I destroyed all the other nations. And so forth. So Ezekiah prayed. Here's his prayer then. Let's read it. In Isaiah 37, let's read from verse 14. And Ezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and went into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Now, that's something to learn. Sometimes you receive a handwriting, a bill of health diagnosis, you know, from the doctors. What should you do when you get that letter? Yeah, it will bring the darkest moment. You know, sometimes we get a letter, diagnosis of some of the worst things, cancer or whatever. I mean, what do you do? What did Ezekiah do? Well, he took the letter and he went to the house of the Lord and he spread it before the Lord. Now, you should take that letter and go to your chosen place. You know, the place where the Lord had chosen to put his name there, according to Deuteronomy 12 and 3, he said there is a place that the Lord will meet with you, choosing to put his name there. You know, well, come, you know, and so there may be a place where you meet with the Lord in prayer and so forth. Well, you know, so, you know, come, you know, come to the place. Unto the place which the Lord your God had choose. Put his name there. Deuteronomy 12, actually verse 5, I said verse 3, verse 5. You know, come to that place. Yeah, that's the altar that you set. Well, bring the letter, the handwriting, and spread it before the Lord. You know, that's what Ezekiah did. And when he did, well, let's listen to his prayer, how he prayed. And this is something that can give us some insight on how we ought to pray when we face the darkest hour sometimes, you know, that's in our lives. And Ezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims. First of all, you know, he's going to tell God how great he is. It's not that God doesn't know, but you tell him, you know. And he said, well, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, thou hast made heaven and earth. You know, he come to God. You know, he learned it. He knew how David's great-great-grandfather used to pray. And so he knew it. And he said the same thing. He said, incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear, and open thine eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of this Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Now, he's going to make his argument here. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria, they have laid waste all the nations. We know that, and all their countries. And they have cast all their gods into the fire because they were no gods. And they were only the work of men's hands. They were wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. But now, Lord, now, therefore, O Lord, listen to this. Save us from his hand. And every time I've read this and even spoken about it, here's what I always like to call out in this statement. Save us from his hand. Why? You know, that our lands be not destroyed. Save us from his hand, O Lord, that our wives do not become widows. Save us from his hand, O Lord, that our children do not become fatherless. I mean, save us from his hand, O Lord, that he does not destroy our country. He didn't say any of those things. But listen to what he said. Save us from his hand, O Lord, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. In other words, glorify thyself in this thing. In other words, let your name be glorified all over. Everyone that will hear of it, let them tremble and glorify your name. That was his prayer. Save us. And in saving us, do it that your name will be glorified. Praise the Lord. And that is some prayer that's going to get God's attention. Now, he could have prayed and God would have come through for him the same way, because God is a merciful God. But this lesson is showing us something different. He could have prayed all those other prayers that I say he could have. Because I said, Lord, you know, why should we be laid desolate at the hand of this man? Save us that he destroy not our country. Could have said that. And God would still have helped him. He could have said, well, save us that our wives not be widows. God would still have helped him. And so on and so forth. But he prayed the ultimate prayer here. Just like Jesus. That your name may be glorified. Glorify thy name, O God. And that's the ultimate prayer. And he prayed and said, Lord, do it. For thy great name's sake, that all the kingdoms of the world, when they hear of it, may know that thou art the God, even thou alone. Well, when you get that diagnosis, you get that letter, you get whatever it is, can you say this kind of prayer and say, Lord, do this thing so that the doctors, the nurses, the specialists, and everybody that wrote and participated in that diagnosis, that they may know that I serve a living God. That's right. Well, of course, you have to have a testimony before them. And then, you know, when you pray that kind of prayer, well, of course, the Lord sent Isaiah to encourage him. And at the end of the day, well, you may know this story. At the end of the day, the story was that the angel of the Lord, in verse 36, went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians in one night 185,000. How much is that? Or how many is that? 185,000 in one night. And when the rest who were alive woke up, dead corpses everywhere. And so they ran for their lives, you know. And this man How did he trigger such a tremendous showing up of the Lord? Well, because he challenged God to make it about God's fight. You know, when you make it about God getting the glory, the results are different. Hallelujah. And, you know, so that's what I want us to learn. And that's how we're going to pray today. You may be facing a dark hour. Jesus was facing his darkest hour. But he said, well, glorify thy name, O Father. And the Lord said, well, I've glorified now, glorify it again. But this man is facing, you know, tremendous challenge here. You know, this man, Sennacherib, Rabshakeh, all of them, they've sent and they are going to disgrace them, dismantle their armies, rub their faces on the ground, and so on. He said, look, you better come in allegiance, surrender. Otherwise, we're going to do all these things to you that we did to all the others. You know, and it was a day of trouble, as Gaia said. A day that, you know, even pregnant women cannot bring forth. They are afraid to even bring forth because, you know, what's going to be the future of these children? A day where there is noise of trouble all around. A day of gloominess and a day of darkness. But he turned to the Lord and made it about God getting the glory. My goodness. And when he did that, well, the Lord came through. So, that's what we want to talk to ourselves about today and use that in our prayer. I'm going to go into prayers in just a bit over the room, you know, for miracles of healing and deliverance that God will bring to us and to our lives. But we're going to make it about God getting the glory. Whatever situation you're in, yours may not be about healing or deliverance or cancer or this and that. I just named those because those are among some of the most terrible things that people can face. It could be any situation. You may have lost your mortgage. You may be in the process of losing something. You may have lost your job. You may be, you know, I mean, things may just not be going well. You may be sitting in despair city. You know, but there is a place. Yes, there is another place from despair city. You know, there's a place that is called Jireh. The Lord will provide. Will move you from that despair city to the place that is called Jireh. There is a place for you. But how you get there, you got to recognize that, you know, sometimes, you know, something may die in order to bring forth. You know, it may look like you've lost everything, but God's going to bring up some tremendous glory. Now, when I talk about something dying, I'm not talking about your life or the life of a loved one. You know, that we must understand that it is God's will for us to live. And not to die. But I'm saying that, you know, that maybe sometimes our dreams, you know, like Jesus said, a corn of wheat fall into ground and die. You know, dreams going through stuff, man, it looks like it's dead, but God's going to bring something out of it. But as far as your life is hid with Christ. I mean, hid with God in Christ. You know, we are graven in the palms of his hand. Jesus himself said, no man can pluck them out of my hands. And no death, no cancer, no sickness, no disease can pluck it out. It is the Father's good pleasure that we be in health and that we prosper. Now, the devil, on the other hand, is the one that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said that in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He said, but I, being the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep, I am come that you might have life and that more abundantly, not just barely cling on to life. I mean, if we are in a dire situation, health, doctors gave up and everything. I mean, and you just clinging to life, or they are clinging to life and they're going to be a vegetable the rest of their life, but barely alive. Well, that's not abundant life. You know, there's nothing abundant about that. But Jesus promises abundant life. That's right. You know, not just barely hanging on to life. So God is able to heal the situation and turn it to abundant life. But we must make it about Him getting all the glory. Praise the Lord. And give it all back to me, the Lord said. He said, well, you know, is it for my glory? Well, yeah, it is for His glory. Whatsoever we do, you know, if we can make it about God getting the glory, then it is going to be quicker in coming, because that's what it's all about. It's about God getting the glory. And sometimes we pray about thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, we need to know how His will is in heaven. What is His will in heaven? Well, in heaven, there's no sickness. There's no dying. There's no sorrow. There's no sighing. There's no mourning. You know, but they shall be before the throne, you know, and the Lamb Himself will be the light of the place. You know, so when we are praying, don't let the devil deceive you and say, well, maybe it's not the will of God for you to be healed or for your loved one to be healed. That's the devil's religious spirit trying to cloud your eyes. You know, God always wants us to be healed. You know, that's what He does. Always that we should be healed. He never, you know, wants us to go through, I am the Lord that healed thee, He said. You know, and there was a man in Matthew chapter 8. Let's read it. When Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. This is verse 1 of Matthew 8. And behold, there was a leper that came and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, see, thou canst make me clean. Now, this man wasn't even sure. But, you know, he said, well, is it your will? I mean, if it's your will, you know, maybe I can be clean. And Jesus is going to tell him point blank here and show him the will of God. The rest of us today, we should know better than praying that kind of prayer. That whether it's His will for us to be healed. It is always His will for you to be healed. Listen to the answer that Jesus said. Jesus put forth His hand and touched Him, saying, I will be thou clean. That's it. Anytime you're wondering in your mind whether it's God's will, you know, for good to happen to you, well, let it be known unto you today that verily, verily, it is God's will. Jesus said, it is my will. Be thou made clean. And the man was immediately made clean. Now, 3 John verse 2 rather. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. There are many promises in the Bible about God delivering us from healing. You know, when we are faced with situations of health, a crisis, could be the worst, you know, the worst time in someone's life. You know, when the life is hanging in and you got the threat and you got the diagnosis and you got all these things. Well, let's do what we are learning today. Let's make it about God getting the glory. Let's make it about God, you know, getting renown for His name. You know, one time I said, God's word is His bond. We know that. But His name is His reputation. That's where it's at. And, you know, if we're citizens of His kingdom, the welfare of the citizens, you know, is a reflection of the state of that kingdom. If the welfare of the citizens are impoverished, well, you know, then it's not a good thing for that kingdom. But if the welfare of the citizens are flourishing and they are in health, they are flourishing, well, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall be fat and flourishing, he said. They shall even bring forth fruit, even in old age. You know, yeah, if that's the, if God can make his citizens like that, well, it's for his own advantage, because that's his reputation. So, wow, the citizens are really doing well. You know, that's a good thing for the kingdom. And so God himself being king, you know, wants his citizens to be a reflection of his goodness. That's right. The goodness of God, you know, is unto us to give, to bring us healing, to bring us deliverance. I am the Lord that healeth thee, he said in multiple places. You know, I will not put upon you, you know, any of these things, you know, that are in the world, the Egyptians and so forth. And if they come upon you, then I will heal you. Praise God. You know, first of all, God doesn't want it to come upon us. But should it, well, he will heal. That's what he said. I am the Lord that healeth thee. We've read it in Exodus 15 and 26. We've read it in multiple places, you know, where the Lord has, you know, commanded that the people should believe him for healing. Oh, that's right. And the Lord always, always giving a promise. Even Isaiah prophesied it, that this is what he's going to do. You'll be beaten for your peace. Now, if you're running from pillar to post, as they say, one day you are here, in another day you are there, running after this treatment and this diagnosis and so forth. Well, that's not peace. You know, but Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. John 14 and 27. Not as the world gives, but I give it to you. No man take it from you. And he did it, paid for it. The chastisement of our peace. All that beating that Jesus was beating, it wasn't just for our healing. It was for our peace as well. The stripes, you know, all those, you know, wounds that were left on his body. That's for our healing. But the beating of it was for our peace. So, you know, God wants us to have peace. By all means necessary. But when we pray, well, let's make it about him getting the glory. Pray like this, Jesus said. And he taught his disciples how to pray. Well, I say also to you today, pray like this and say, Lord, let thy word be verified, which you have spoken with your mouth. That which you have spoken in the word of God, that you are my healer. That which you have spoken, that you will not put any of these diseases upon me that are put upon, you know, the Egyptians and so forth. Well, let that word which you have spoken by your mouth be verified with your hand as it is in my life today, that your name may be glorified. You know, put that one in there. That your name may be glorified, for I am thine, and your name is upon me, and I bear the name of the Lord. That's right. Now, why should the heathen rage, and why should they say, where is your God? Now, therefore, Lord, be jealous for thy name, and arise and glorify thy name in my life. Let all the people know, let the doctors and everybody know that I serve a living God. Now, when we pray that kind of prayer, I guarantee you, it is more effective. Praise the Lord. The Lord, he brought out the children of Israel. You know, he brought them out. He said, look, I don't want you to be like that. I have made you free. I have caused you even to go upright. You know, I don't want you to be bent down under the heavy burdens of failure and sickness and all these things. The Lord wants us to be free. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said. Set you free. But why? It's that he might be glorified. praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 26 and verse 13, the Lord says, look, there's a lot of burdens that the enemy have put upon you, but I brought you out and I'm setting you free. And I don't want you to be bondsmen. I don't want you bands to be around your neck anymore. I want you to go upright, he said. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be bondmen to them. I've broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. Praise the Lord. Well, don't be bent over with all these heavy burdens. Is any man laboring and heavy laden? Well, come unto me, Jesus said. And he promised, you know, us tremendous things, how he's going to set us free, break the bands of the Assyrian, break the sickness, the disease, and anything that's terrorizing us. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27, that the burden of Pharaoh and the Assyrian shall be taken off of thy shoulder. That's right. You know, the burden that he has put upon you, you know, that was his tactic. Let there be more burdens laden upon them so that they won't have time to serve the Lord. When they have to run helter-skelter, when they are sick themselves, or their loved one is sick, and they have to go up and down all over the place, or they won't have time to serve the Lord. So let there be more burden laden upon them. The Lord said, well, I'm going to break his yoke off of your neck. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Hallelujah. The anointing is what breaks the yoke. The anointing of the Lord. And the Lord said, look, I will break his yoke off of your neck. The Lord will break the staff of Midian. He will break the yoke of the enemy that is upon, the enemy has to put upon our lives. And he will deliver us from the hand of the enemy. You know, he says, well, in righteousness, you should be delivered. The Lord will deliver you and he will set you free. Praise the Lord. I have broken the staff of Midian, he said. Glory to God. And I have broken the yoke of oppression. Hallelujah. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. This is what the Lord said he would do for us. He said, even the people that walked in darkness, they're going to see a great light. And the Lord said, he have broken the yoke and the staff, and the enemy and the rod of the oppressor. Broken it, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise. Well, garments rolled in blood and so on. You know, that's on it, you know, both sides. You know, when armies are fighting, garments are rolled in blood on both sides. But this time around, you know, this battle is going to be with burning and fuel of fire, because the Lord is going to destroy, you know, the yoke of the enemy from your life. Praise the Lord. And God is going to give us the victory. I'm going to pray. I want us to pray. I want you to pray with me. If you have a prayer need, well, let's make it about God getting the glory. The Lord has already shown us how that he was going to deliver us and deliver you. Praise the Lord. It is his will, you know, that it be well with you. Jeremiah 29 and 11. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Thoughts of good. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. What's the expected end? Well, you know, your deliverance. That the name of the Lord might be glorified. You know, that's the expected end. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 23 and 18 says, surely there is an end. You know, when we are going through some stuff, sometimes it looks like there is no end to it. I mean, one thing after the other, one thing after the other. But this scripture right here, Proverbs 23 and 18, we need to stand upon it and say, surely there is an end. And my expectation shall not be cut off. My expectation is that the name of the Lord will be glorified in this situation. Praise the Lord. It will be glorified. And no matter how dark the night may be now, Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, sorrow may endure for a night. Well, at some point, that night must pass away. The day must break. The night cannot last forever, because there is an end, saith the Lord. And when the day shall break, then joy shall come in the morning. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray for everyone that has a need. If you have a prayer need, I want you to agree with me even now. We're going to make it about God getting the glory. We're going to come in the name of the Lord against situations that you are facing for yourself, for your family, for your spouse, for your children, for your loved ones, and even for anyone you want to stand in gap for today. Let's believe the Lord together. Our God shall come and save us, that he might be glorified. So I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I want you to believe with me. If you have a prayer need, if you are in the audience and you have a prayer need, well, signify by raising your hand. I'm going to pray over the hands that I raised. If you are in the stage already, you can't really raise your hand there. You put something in the chat room. Signify that I'm in the need of this prayer. And I'm going to pray over everybody that's signifying today. Yeah, because God doesn't want us to be under these heavy burdens. Come unto me, he said, and I will blow that burden back. That's right. I'm going to blow that burden back. Now, as you see the hands that are being raised now, you don't need to bring them up. They're just being raised for prayer. So don't worry about being brought up, and moderators, don't bother to bring them up. But all the hands that are raised right now during this segment, it's because they want prayer and we need to bring them up. So raise your hands. We're not going to bring you up. Some people don't like to come up to the stage. Don't worry about it. Just raise your hand for prayer. We're going to pray over the hands and, you know, put your name or the name of a loved one, put them in that chat room that you're praying over. It's like spreading that letter before the Lord. Well, spread it before the Lord. The Lord already knows, but tell him anyway. Tell him anyway, you know, and that's the way you do it. You know, he said, look, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4 and 6, you know, but in everything by prayer and supplication, you know, bring your supplications to the Lord, spread the letter and, you know, wrap that around with thanksgiving, wrap it in the light of God's word, and God will come through for you. And you focus on making it about him getting the glory. So right now, this is the moment of prayer. And in this moment, Lord, we come before you in the name of Jesus. For those whose hands are raised, for those that put their prayer points in the chat room, or those that are standing in gap for everyone. Lord, you look down upon these names and these hands, and you know their needs, Lord. And we pray, Lord, the word of promise that you have promised to all of us, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. The word of promise that you have said, when you pass through the fire, you're coming out on the other side. It will not burn you. And when you go through the floods, you will not be drowned. I am the Lord, and I will be with you. That word, Lord, that you have spoken, say, yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Be not afraid. And all these words that you have said, I will contend with them that contend with you. Hallelujah. The words that you have said, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. All those words of promises that you have given, against our enemies that come in to try to eat up our flesh. The word where he said, when the enemy tried to come in and eat up my flesh, the answer of an, the peace from God that will come, that have given us that answer of peace. Well, against the ordinances and the handwriting, the diagnosis and everything, your word says, my word is greater. 1 John chapter 5 verse 9 says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. What is the witness of men? The science, the technology of specialists, they tell you, well, you are diagnosed with cancer, you're going to die. You are this and this and that. Well, yeah, we know that. But the witness of God is greater. Hallelujah. The witness of God is greater. We see that even this man, Ezekiah, he would not back down. Even when the Lord sent the prophet to tell him, your days are short. You will not recover from this sickness. Better put your house in order. He said, well, I'm not ready to die, Lord. And he turned his face and he prayed. And the Lord changed that situation. Added him 15 more years. Glory to God. Because he knew in his heart, he had walked in the integrity of his heart before the Lord. Today, I stand in a gap of prayer for everyone that is here with a prayer need. Whether it's for yourself, whether it's for a spouse, whether it's for a child or a parent, whether it's for a friend or family member, in the name of Jesus, that the Lord's name might be glorified, that which you have spoken, Lord, by thy word unto us in various and sundry places throughout the scriptures, how that you are the Lord that healeth us. He sent his word and he healed them. And all these things they've spoken, Lord, let those same words be verified in the lives of your children, even this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That your name might be glorified. Glorify thy name, O God, even as you glorified it in the life of the Christ. In his darkest hour, cried unto you, and the Lord heard. And he said, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. Now, some of us have testimony of healing and deliverance in the past. The Lord had done it before and he would do it again. Hallelujah. Let's gain confidence from the victory over the lion and the victory over the bear. Let's use that to garnish strength for the present conflict against this Goliath. And who art thou, O great mountain, of cancer, of leukemia, of diabetes, of high blood pressure, whatever, stroke and anything, any handwriting of ordinances and bills of ill health that come like a great mountain. Who art thou, O great mountain? He said, before Zerubbabel. Put your name there. Yeah, thou shalt be made a plain, be brought down to nothing. I will erase it to the ground. Hallelujah. Even that which has vaunted itself up against my people, even that will I bring low, said the Lord. And in this mountain, this same mountain that have vaunted itself, shall come forth deliverance. Grace and grace shall come forth. For the Lord will show the glory of his name. Thank you, Father. Glorify yourself, Lord, in the life of your children. As we call upon you, Lord, our eyes are upon you. The things that befalling us sometimes, they're greater than we can bear. But Lord, we are looking unto you today. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. As many, Lord, as are petitioned before you today. Hallelujah. I pray in the name of Jesus for all the names that have been put before you. It's like us spreading those letters before the Lord. Look upon your people, Lord. Hallelujah. And let's believe the Lord together. Our God will come and he will save us. Thank you, Father. Father, look upon all the names that people have put in this chat room today. Glory to God. And those names also that are hands that are raised. Hallelujah. Well, we're praying and believing God. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Every one of you that have put your names here. The name of your spouse, your husband or your wife, the name of a relative or a friend, glory to God. And all those names that have been put here, the Lord sees them. I will not call out the names, but the Lord sees them all. And I thank you, Lord, for every one of these names in the name of Jesus. The hands also that are raised, the Lord sees you. You are the God that seeth me. Ha! Glory to God. The Lord, he sees you. And we are going to make it about his glory. Father, Lord, rise up in the lives of these your children that are believing you this day. And get your name renowned. And get your name glory, O Lord, even in their situation. You know, the doctors that are giving up on them or their loved one or their family member or this or that. Father, Lord, show forth thy glory. Let it be known that our God is a healer and we serve a living God. That's right. You know, and Lord, we pray that you will receive all the glory. And we turn it all back to you, Lord. After that, the Lord shall have saved us. We will remember the name of the Lord. We will remember the banner of his name. Hallelujah. We will always lift up, O Lord, your name and your testimony in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we thank you because there is a time for everything. There's a time that you called for this prayer in this room today. Hallelujah. The day of salvation is today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I pray, O Lord, that these words that we speak in the name of the Lord today, the Lord said, because you have spoken in my ears, even as you have spoken, so will I do unto you. I speak deliverance over every situation in this room today. I speak breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. I speak healing, miracles, that are way beyond science. I say and I declare today that the Bible says in Hebrews 4 and 12 that the word of God is sharper than surgical instruments. That's right. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can go in the bones and the marrows. And if there's anything else that's spreading in the bones and in the marrows, let the word of God go in there. Anything that's contrary, flush it out. In the name of Jesus, and create new blood, new cells. Hallelujah. Lord, I stand and declare your word today because you said, I will cleanse their blood. Glory to God that has not been cleansed. I'm going to cleanse it. I'm going to give them new blood according to Joel chapter 3 and verse 21. For I will cleanse their blood that have not been cleansed, saith the Lord that dwelleth in Zion. Now, our Lord, according to all these words that you have spoken by your mouth, let them be verified in the lives of your children as it is this day. And let your name be glorified. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. We declare that it is done. And the Bible says, well, you know, shout, O ye heavens. For the Lord has done it. Break forth into singing, ye lower parts of the earth. For the Lord has glorified himself in, well, put the name of that loved one there that you are believing God for, or even for yourself, whatever it is, and the burdens that you are carrying, the Lord will glorify himself in that situation for you today. I declare this to you by the word of the Lord. According to Isaiah 44 and 23, that the heavens will sing, because the Lord has done it. That even the lower parts of the earth will break forth into singing, that the mountains, the trees, the forests, and every living thing, because the Lord has redeemed and put your name there and glorified himself and put the name of your family there. Yes, so is this spoken and so it is in Jesus' name. Now let the people be encouraged, O Lord, this morning. Let there be a lifting up in the name of the Lord Jesus. For the Lord, he will do good. No good thing will he withhold from all those that love the Lord in Jesus' name. Therefore, let the people praise the Lord this morning. Let all the people praise the Lord. Even as we praise your name this morning, Lord, for giving us a word of exhortation, a word of encouragement, a word of lifting up, we make it about your glory. Let thy name, O Lord, be glorified in my life and in the situation that I'm facing even now. Let your word be verified. Let all the glory be to you. For thine, O Lord, is the glory. That's right. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power and the majesty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.